you have been looking at this issue for a long time, and you've been looking at it from both the government and private sector perspective. Before we get into some of the specifics of government reorganization, what are some of the main similarities and differences to the way things people do M&A in the private sector and the way that public sector organizations do reorgs?
Well, when you look at how they do it, they're pretty much the same. It's the set out a strategy in general, vision where you want to take the organization. That comes with goals, budget, and or cost estimates, if you will. Synergies is the commercial term for what you're going to what you will achieve through that restructuring or reform that you're going to do. The key to that is whatever budget or synergies you put together, that implies a schedule. So that comes with a when am I going to do what to get the value. Same thing in the government space. The key difference is the flexibility. So if you're in an agency, you might have a great strategy or vision, but you are a little bit gated by what you're going to be allowed to do from the stakeholders, which could be the administration itself, or it could be the Congress, it could be the Senate or the House, which might put some dampers on your desire to go forward. That's the real big difference.
One of the issues that we looked at in our series, as I mentioned, as I brought you on, we looked at 23 specifically. We judged 10 effective, 6 ineffective, 7 labeled more progress needed. One of the ones that turned out ineffective was a reorganization at the Commerce Department. Now, taking into consideration what you just talked about some of the differences and similarities in public versus private, the agencies that you've worked with that have done successful reorgs, are there themes, are there common threads that you see as you go from agency to agency?
Well, it's interesting. If you look at the agencies that have been successful in the recent past, there is an interesting factor. They look like they're driven by, I'll use a term that might be a little pejorative, crisis. So agencies that are under stress, either because of performance, could be budget, or it could be a mishap. So something happened under their watch that needed to be reformed. You see there being a lot of room for those agencies to reform and reform quickly. So they will come in an administration, they'll be given the leeway to go forward. So you look at Department of the Interior with some of their activities related to the Gulf spill. So that created a burning platform, if you will, literally, to go make some change. You see that in other places as well. So if you have a crisis to be used to drive, change happens fast.
In the 3 o'clock hour this afternoon, I played some highlights from the General Services Administration hearing in the Senate Homeland Security last week, Homeland Security Committee. And I took away that very idea from that. We had somebody, a friend of mine, kind of joke that Brian Miller, the IG at GSA, is kind of like Mikey. He hates everything that has been going on there. And he had very good things to say about the restructuring that Dan Tangerlini is undertaking there. And as you say, that's coming out certainly out of a very high-profile crisis situation.
Exactly. And if you look at what Dan has done, he really took advantage of the remit, which was, you know, fix GSA, which left a lot of room. They looked at it top to bottom. That's exactly what gives you the freedom to move. And then he thoughtfully put together a plan with all options on the table. So the crisis does take away some of the barriers or obstacles in people's minds, whatever they may be. And that actually is interesting in what it has enabled certain agencies to do and others not to do. So if they aren't under crisis, you see other agencies not really being allowed to execute against what might be a reform plan.
John Powers of Deloitte is my guest, talking about restructuring at federal agencies. Now, in the same vein, the agencies that have struggled or maybe given up on reorganizations after periods of time, are there themes there that you've seen that they have pursued maybe time and time again that have led to those problems?
Well, you'll see what we'd call small bore change. So if you're not allowed to take on the big problem, the big transformation for whatever reason, you do see these agencies trying to find places to move within their own organization. One of the areas that has been fruitful for many is to consolidate disparate back office functions because they don't carry a lot of political weight, if you will. So if I've got IT functions scattered, if I have finance organizations scattered, it's both productive, meaning you get better service to your clients from that. You'll save money by doing it. And it's pretty hard to argue with as a thing to do to drive up better performance for your agency. So they don't give up generally. They proceed to what space they can take or what room they can move into.
You wrote down some thoughts about some success ideas here. And I'd like to put these on federalnewsradio.com so folks can take a look at these. But you ask a question here when it comes to framing exactly what the goals are of the restructuring that I think is really interesting and maybe doesn't get asked often enough. And that is compared to what? It is one thing to say we want to reshape something, we want to change the way things work, but I'm not sure that compared to what question gets asked often enough, does it?
I don't think so. I think success is often compared to what either was set out by somebody. It may not even been the agency or the administration as what someone or some agency should do. So here's an objective. Did you achieve it? And that's not unreasonable to hold people accountable to aggressive objectives. But it is interesting to think about, well, what happened in the prior administration or what has happened historically in this agency related to change? And you'll see, while we might look at some agency change as not dramatic, it might be the most change that's happened ever in some of these agencies. So I think in the recent administration, it's easy to look at it and say they haven't done enough. I think that's fair, but you've got to wonder as compared to what. And when you look at the size of the government now versus what it was 10 years ago, which it's interesting, is it's actually grown less than the population of the United States. So is your comparison that the government should be smaller than or smaller as a percentage of our population over time? Then the answer is the Obama administration has achieved that. And when you look at the growth in the government, it's been mainly in things we might think are reasonable. The military, Veterans Affairs, Department of Homeland Security. Again, so you have to do as compared to what? That's the problem with an overarching analysis. I think if you go agency by agency like you're talking about, you can compare it to, well, what did we set out to achieve and what did we get done? And then you can look back on who has done more in this context before. And that's really the way to think about success or failure.
And I think you can even slice that compared to what question down a little bit, compared to what in the past, what these agencies have looked like before, these organizations have looked like before, or compared to what the expectations are by any of those forces that you just talked about, whether it's the agency itself or some of the outside forces like the administration, OMB, or Congress. Is that fair to say, do you think?
I think it's fair. I think even another way to slice it, which gets to a fairly objective view, is it compared to the cost? So are we saving money? Is it compared to performance? Are we getting better at delivering the services that we want to deliver? Or both? And I think you could be successful in a number of those elements, and that would give you a pretty good sense of how well an agency is doing. So just cutting costs is good in general, if you can do what you're doing today for less. But doing it better might be even more important than cutting the costs out. And doing it better for less is ultimately the goal. So if you can show that kind of progress, then I think you could validate or invalidate success.
Let's dig into some more of those. We have to take a break, but when we come back, I want to dig more there because that seems to be the cost performance equation seems to be the crux of where most of these reorganizations are at least conceived when it comes to government agencies. John Powers of Deloitte's my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My conversation with him continues in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Also coming up at 5:30, taking a look at the big, big boss. Mike Causey has some historic comparisons there. And at 5:40, a look at whether the White House has really cut red tape. All of that on the way from In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Pissarro as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life in Boron.
Rock that fanny pack, wearing those khakis last.
Kevin,
yeah?
What are you doing?
Just singing this sweet tune I heard on the radio this morning.
We need to get you HD radio, man. Those are not the lyrics. If you were listening to that song in my Kia Optima with the UVO infotainment system and HD radio, you'd hear all the lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality. Plus the artist and song title even display on my UVO screen.
Then let's go for a ride and hope the fanny pack song comes on.
Voice-activated UVO infotainment system with HD radio, now available in the Kia Optima.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
"The next plateau becomes maybe some of the more enterprise type of applications, database applications, email applications, as you refer to, collaboration type of software. software being virtualized and run on that infrastructure from phase one. So the phase one doesn't just provide cost benefits of that 20 to 40% ROI. It also lays the groundwork for additional enterprise applications to be migrated to that shared infrastructure and provide a second 20% kind of ROI benefit for those particular applications.
To hear the Federal IT Challenge in its entirety and learn more about the journey to cloud computing, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
What do we know about teenagers? Well, one thing we do know. All teenagers think they're invincible. But there's something else we need to know. When texting while driving, any driver is 23 times more likely to have an accident. It's that serious. At AT&T, we've launched a national campaign against texting while driving called It Can Wait. We're bringing driving simulators to high schools across the country to give teenagers firsthand experience at how dangerous texting while driving can be. And we've created a free app called Drive Mode that sends out an auto response to incoming texts to help curb the urge to answer. This is going to take all of us working together. So go to itcanwait.com. Sign the pledge, spread the word, and help put an end to texting while driving. Because no text is worth the risk. AT&T. Rethink possible.
I'm Emily Kopp. On Tuesday's Federal Drive, experts are going to rate the Obama administration's take on technology. We've got a special panel on the White House's 25-point IT plan. And we'll dig into the nitty-gritty of the White House's sequestration report with Bloomberg Government's Kevin Brancato. It all starts at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for the latest federal news, check out federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, all week long. We are bringing you our special week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years. And today we're focused on management initiatives, things that federal managers have control over and can influence. John Powers of Deloitte Consulting is here in the studio with me to talk about that very issue. And one of the stakeholders that you mentioned that is really important in every single thing that the government does, but particularly in restructuring and reorganization, is Congress. Now, in some of the notes that you provided that we'll post later this week on federalnewsradio.com, you mentioned that Congress has not done the same thing, played the same role that a board of directors, say, would play in this same kind of thing happening in a private sector company. What's the difference?
Well, if you look at getting reform done or restructuring done in the government space, it really takes three to tango. We need the administration, we need the professionals in the agency, and we need the Congress all to work together to get any reform done. In a commercial sense, the board of a company would be the same role as Congress, which is oversight, governance, and essentially approving funding. And what's happened in this current Congress, they're not letting things happen at the speed or in the magnitude, but we have examples of both of those for a variety of reasons, and we could debate the reasons and are they appropriate or not. But I would just say they're certainly not enabling the agencies to move with all alacrity to get to the outcome. So the administration has put forward a number of proposals, and the agencies are trying to proceed in a variety of ways down paths. But there are examples where the Congress has not let them move down the road, where a board of directors of a commercial organization, that would be their highest goal, would be to let the company get on with the restructuring, essentially.
You point out a couple of those. One of them's Fast Track Authority. We've covered on this station the Postal Service issues and the fact that the Congress has not gotten to a postal reform bill. The House and Senate, as is the case with just about everything, have dramatically different views of what Postal Service reform looks like. And we've also covered another point that you make here. The Homeland Security Department is overseen by, it seems like, 5,218 committees or subcommittees in Congress. The number you have is 108, and I've seen it anywhere between 80 and 120, I guess, depending on what somebody's definition of oversight and a component of DHS is. But just the fact that it's up in that neighborhood reminds me of a board of directors within the last couple of years, a technology company that I won't name. But when they went through these kinds of problems, stories day after day after day in the business media focused on how dysfunctional this board was, how badly this company was suffering. And yet this kind of seems now to be SOP for federal agencies, especially in the areas that we just talked about.
Well, I think it's so if Congress is board of directors, then we, the voters, are essentially the shareholders. And ultimately, it's our responsibility to send them the right messages around what we want or don't want. But when you look at the simple fact is, do we need 108 to oversee Department of Homeland Security? I don't think there's anyone on the planet that can defend 80, let alone 108, let alone 120. And I'm not even, the fact that we have a number that varies that much tells you something about the clarity.
That's exactly right.
So I think that we really have to expect, if we want reform, the Congress has got to enable. They've got to fix themselves to some extent to let us get on with the job.
John Powers of Deloitte Consulting in studio with me on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You write in this the notes that you have here, you wrap it up by saying, the winner is, and I hear a drum roll in my head, and I wish I had one to play now, but who does win in a successful reorganization? What's the outcome that we're really looking for here?
Well, when you look at how to evaluate success, and you think about, well, who's really done well or is doing well, so that, you know, the ultimate winner is going to be the person that receives a service from the agency, and that ideally they're taking that service on behalf of the taxpayers. So those people where service improves, they're winning, and the sign of that is agency reform leads to could be lower cost, could be better for service for the same cost, or ultimately could be both, or ideally would be both. GSA is a good example. I think they've given us some signs that they're going to try to improve or provide the same service for less around capping fees for their customers. That's an example of an agency improving their customer service, if you will. I think if you were to grade all the participants in all these reforms, I would say that the agencies are doing what they can do. I'd give them pretty high grades for trying to put together plans. There are numerous examples of agencies making positive change and reform. GSA is an example. USDA has done some work to consolidate their field offices, and there's many more. I think the administration has done a reasonable job of driving political change to their appointees, and also putting plans together. The Commerce proposal is a reasonable proposal. I think Congress is the place where the it's really stopped. You know, it gives them fairly mediocre grades for enabling. Some has been enabled, but they could do a lot more if they really wanted to reform. And the reform should be to drive a more productive and better government. Cost is a part of it, but I really think we should be focused on what the government provides in productivity.
The Commerce reorg one is particularly interesting to me because it struck me that they attempted that the same way that they've attempted other initiatives. And I think it makes a lot of sense. We're going to try it on a small scale and try to build it in a way that is then scalable, that we can take it and plant it in another agency and see if that works. In that one in particular, do you have any thoughts about how that either was conceived, how it got off to a start, or and what it looks like now?
Well, I think if you look at the content of it, the proposal itself, it actually comes from the customer in mind. Now, again, plenty of debate on do you think it's going to get there or not. But I think the position it starts with is we want to improve the experience of our customers, essentially trying to improve the way we do commerce around the world and all these agencies focused on trade, et cetera. I think that's smart. I mean, they came from the customer's perspective. How can we make it better for them? I think the way they tried to execute it was... You know, it's a risk. I think you have to take these chances in the government or push the envelope a little bit. You could do a number of small bore exercises to try to build up to one big reform. This wasn't an irrational way to try to get fast-track authority again. I mean, I think that's a pretty reasonable thing the president ought to have, especially with all the requests for reform. So, I think they could still go about a series of small bore reforms to get closer to the end goal. I think it was a pretty reasonable thing to put on the table that we want broader. We want to do... You know, Nixon proposed four big agencies, if you will. Other people, Reagan had this authority in the past. I think we have to ask the government to be bolder, and that was a bold proposition to give the president fast-track authority to reform the government.